This is Daf Chaf Aleph. So we got to the very top line. Today's a short Daf. I mean, at least on the days is very short. So Gemara begins, Mikol Makom Kasha. So we were talking yesterday about the din of Ziri. Ziri had said that if a person, if someone were to break the back, the spine, and rove basar, most of the flesh that's in the back, so immediately that animal becomes a nevela, even though the animal might be moving around, still it's still considered nevela, and would be tame right away. So the question becomes, if it becomes a nevela right away, so if one does malika, when the coin does malika behind the back, the neck of the bird, so now it becomes a nevela immediately before you've done the malika. So how could malika be kosher on an animal that's already considered a nevela? Because you have to go through again that spine before getting to the simanim. In this case, it's talking about a situation where they didn't move it back. So Gemara says, Amarava Ema Kain Hu Ose. That's what he would do. He would actually, the process in which the malika would take place would be Chotech Shidra Umafrekes below Rov Basa. So that was the tonight. In order to make this animal a nevela right away, it wasn't enough to simply break the Mafrekes, the spine, but it's also you have to tear Rov Basa, most of the flesh in the back. In this situation, when the Kohen were to do the malika, he wouldn't tear Rov Basar, in which case it wouldn't be rendered a nevela just yet. He'd go through the spine and rip off the simanim, and then it would be a kosher malika and not a nevela. So Gemara says, Kisalak Rabbi Zeira, when Rabbi Zeira, we know Rabbi Zeira fled from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, so when he went to Eretz Yisrael, Ashke Chayla Rabbi Ami, he found Rabbi Ami, the Yosef, the Kamarla, the Hashmites, he was learning this suga, this halacha. Amalei, Rabbi Zeira says to Rabbi Ami, V'chimeisa Omin Malik, he asks the question, you go from the back of the Mafrekis, aren't you first killing the animal, and what good is the Malika if the animal is already dead, if you broke the spine? And Ishtomim Meshach Kishah Chada, so he was quiet for a moment, he was thinking about the answer for, and then the answer, Amalei, Rabbi Ami responds back, Ema, we could say, Kachu Osa, the way it was done was, Chotech Hashidra, Mafrekes Belob Rov Basa. He answered this very way, that he broke the spine, but when it came to tearing the skin, he did not tear Rov Basar in the back of the neck of the bird. So Tani Nami Hach, the Braisa, supports this idea. It says, Ketzad Molkin Achatas Ha'of. How does one perform Malika on Achatas Ha'of in the base of Mikdash? So what the Kohen does, Chotech Shidra Mafrekes below Rov Basar, he tears apart the spine, but not Rov Basar. He leaves the skin intact as much as possible. Until he reaches one of the simanim inside, he reaches one of the simanim with his nail, he cuts the entire simon, or at least the majority of that one simon, and then most of the basar with it, meaning he only cuts a basar after he gets to the simon, but he doesn't cut rov basar before the simon, otherwise I would render it a nevela. So this is all consistent with what we've been saying above.
Cutting the shidra, that's not a problem?
Correct, only with rov basar. So then the Gemara says, Ba'ola, so it comes to the Ola Sa'of. So then the Lach is, Shnayim or Rov Shnayim. The Lach is, when it comes to the Ola Sa'of, and as opposed to Chata Sa'of and Ola Sa'of, the din is you need to cut, you need to do Malika on both Simanim, or at least most of both Simanim. So Gemara wants to understand who authored this statement. Money. If Rabban said this, Ha'amri Shnayim Dafka, we said above that, as we're going to see later on, that Rabban hold you need to do two full kulo. You need to do both simanim entirely. It can't be either all them Shnayim, all of them entirely, or most of them. It's Dafka Shnayim, according to Rabban. You have to do both simanim the whole way through. And E Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, if he's the opinion, which we'll see just in a moment, his opinion, Hamar Rov Shnayim, he says you only have to do most of them, but there is no concept of having to do all Shnayim. Rov Shnayim is sufficient. So Ema, the Gemara says, no. The way the Brayis is understood is Uba'ola, it should be Shnayim Lefi L'Rabbanan. You need to do both them entirely according to the Shita L'Rabbanan, and Rov Shnayim is the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. It's not this or that one, it's this one according to Rabbanan, or the other Rov Shnayim according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. That's the first suggestion of the Gemara, how to read this Brayisa, who authored the Brayisa. Alternatively, Gemara suggests, Ibais Ema, Hava Ha, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and it's both of them, Umay Shnayim, Shedomim L'Shnayim. What it means is, you either do Rov, which means 51%, that's it, just Dafka 51%, or you do 75% or more, which looks like a full, both Simanim are entirely cut, but according to, again, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, you don't have to do both of them entirely, has to simply be a majority, or even if it looks like a mostly, but that does not have to be both of them entirely. Fine. Gemara now says, Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. Nishbara mafrekes v'ro basar ima. So if Shmuel says if you broke the spine along with most of the skin, the leather that's back there in the back of the neck of the bird, mitame ba'ol. If one were to do this to a bird, the bird's now a nevela, and then it becomes tuma ba'ol. So what's tuma ba'ol? What's it talking about? Sorry, if it's referring to Adam, sorry, if you break the back of the neck of an Adam, rather. We're applying this din now to an Adam, not to a bird. There is no tumas all by a bird, of course. So a person breaks the spine of a person along with robasar, that person's considered dead, and then it would be a tumas meis, tuma ba'ol. Vim Tomer, if you're going to say, Me'osa Maisa de Eli, Elia Kohen, the situation that he was Mafrekis below Ro Basar Havia, where he had broken his spine, but not most of the Basar in the back, and yet he died right away, the Pasuk describes. So we see that even Mafrekis below Ro Basar would render a person a dead person. He's Mace. So why does Shmuel say, Has the Dafka be Bibasar? According, apparently, Eli only broke the Mafrekis, and it wasn't the Ro Basar. And yet was still mace. So Gemara says, no, Zikna Shiny. Eli was very old when he broke his spine, when he fell back. We'll see the pasuk in just a second. So therefore, his situation, the elderly man who could break his spine, he'll die right away. But someone else who breaks his spine, if he doesn't tear most of the basar, so then he could still remain alive. The pasuk describes in Shmuel Aleph, Vayhi Kaskiras Aaron Ha'elokim, when he remembered, he became aware that the Aaron Vashem was taken captive by the Plishtim. Vayipol Me'al Kisei Acharanis, he fell back off his chair, Ve'ad Yad Hashar, next to the gate, Vatishaver Mafrakto, he broke his spine, Ve'yamos Kizaki Na'ish V'chavad, V'chaved, he broke his back because he's old, meaning even though he broke his spine, but there's no tear, the skin didn't tear in the back, he just broke his spine internally, that killed him. That's because he was very old. But a regular person, a healthy, strong individual, Mafrekis, below Robasa, would not be considered dead and would not be Metame Be'ohel. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kuro Kedag Metame. Let's say a person teared up someone else. Another person was torn into two halves like a fish. You tear open a fish. The din is that person's Metame Be'ohel. Even though the person might still be, sorry to be so gory, but the person's torn in half and he's still moving around, his legs or his body is moving apart, moving around, that's still considered dead. Amr of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, and it's only Migabo, only in the back. If he's torn from the back, is he dead? But if he's torn from the stomach, so then it's still possible he's alive if he's moving around. Okay. Amr Shmuel Asak Gistera, if they cut him in half, they slice him across the way, his neck or from his body, so then the din is he's also considered a nevela. Okay. This is talking about a behema now, a nevela, as opposed to an adam. So then Amr Rebbe Lazar, Nital HaYarech, the chalal shalal. Let's say they remove the thigh of an animal along with the chalal, along with some of the internal organs. Is that how they define it there?
Cavity.
Cavity, okay. Along with a cavity of some sort. That animal is considered a nevela. Hechidami, chalal shalal. What does it mean, a cavity? They took a cavity along with the yarech. So it says, Amarava kol revuta v'nires chasera. So because now the animal is missing a thigh or a leg, so then there's apparently an open hole, a cavity that you see inside the animal as it walks, so that's what it means. As opposed to just removing the leg alone, the bone itself won't render this animal into a nevela. But if you take the animal and then there's a gaping hole inside the animal's leg now, or inside of the body, that would be considered a nevela. Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah tells us in Olos, the first parak, Hutsu Roshayim. So it's talking about the context that Rashi pointed out, the shrutzim, the shmona shrutzim. So the shmona shrutzim, let's say they ripped off the head of, I don't know, a lizard or a frog, whatever type of shmona shrutzim we're referring to, they ripped off the head. And even though the animal is still like missing a head, but still like slithering around somehow and moving, the din is kiznav hata shemefarkeses. So then it's only moving around because just the tail has that energy that's moving. The nerves are shocked, I guess, but the animal is still considered dead if the head has been torn off. So my hutu was mean to be torn off. Reish lakish amar hutu mamish, meaning you took off the head of the animal, completely severed the head of the animal. And Rabbi Asi Amar Rabbi Mani, no, ki havdolas os olas of. Not that you severed the head entirely, it's still attached to the body, it just means that you tore off a part of the neck whereby it can't live anymore. You ripped off the simanim, but the head is still attached to the body, it's hanging, it's dangling off the body. So Amar Le Rabbi Yirmi Le Rabbi Asi, that which we said that you tore the head. We're talking about hutsa means you ripped off the head. Kavdalas olasa of. That's the rabbanan. It's only according to the rabbanan that holds that when you separate the olasa of, you have to do shnei simanim entirely. Remember, we had earlier in the daf machlokas when you cut shnei simanim, the two simanim of an olasa of, rabbanan said you need to do all siman, all two entirely through, even though you don't have to get the whole head off, but both simanim need to be sliced entirely. And Rabbi Lazar, we said, Rabbi Shimon, was it Rabbi Lazar? Yeah, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says you only have to do rov of the shnei simanim. So when Rabbi Asiya Babu was saying you tore the head of the sheretz like havdalas olas of, it's the havdalas olas of Rabbanan, which meant you sliced both simanim entirely velo palgisu. In other words, it's not really arguing Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says you tore off the head entirely. Rabbi Asiya says you cut both simanim entirely. That's pretty similar to each other. Oh, Dilma kavdalas olas of the Rebbezer Rabbi Shimon. Maybe when he compared the cut, ripping off the head of a lizard was only like the olas of Rebbe Lazar, which meant only rov simanim, even cutting rov simanim is sufficient to render that animal a dead sheret, and that would pligu, so that would really be a machlokas Reish Lakish, who said that the head of the sheret was completely severed from the body. So what's the answer? What is the position of Rebbe Asi? How cut does he think that head of the sheret was when he says kavdalas olas of? Amar Leh, he says back, Kavdalas olasof le Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon upaginan. He thinks no. He holds like the lesser havdala, meaning only rov of the shnei simanim were cut off. And we see that there is a big machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rebbe Asi about the definition of a hutsu rasheim shel shmei shrutz. Ikadami. Others say that Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar hutsu mamish, that the mamish severed the head from the body by the shratim. And Rabbi Asi amar Rabbi Yamani kavdalas olas of le Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon berov shnaim. It's more of a mefurish statement as opposed to trying to figure out. This Ikadami says it was mefurish that he understood. He presented his position like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So now the Gemara wants to know, we've been discussing these two opinions of Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, but we haven't really been introduced to them yet. So my Rabbanan and my Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Disani, the Braisa tells us, Legabe Ola Sa'of. It says in the Pasuk, Vesasheni Yase Ola Kim Mishpat. So what does that mean, Kim Mishpat? That you're supposed to do the Ola Sa'of like the way you do the Mishpat, the rules of some type of other carbon. So Gemara says, Kamishpat Chatas Behema, just like a Chatas Behema, that's exactly then how one should do the Chatas Of, the Olas Of rather. So what does that mean, like a Chatas Behema? So Ata Omer, you think Kamishpat, Ata Omer, Kamishpat Chatas Behema, you think Mamish like a Chatas Behema, which requires Shnei Simanim. O Enu Ella Kamishpat Chatas Of. A chatas of only requires one siman to be ripped. So are we comparing it to a kamishvat of chatas behema, that an olas of needs shnei shimanim like a behema? Or maybe an olas of is like the mishvat of a chatas of, which only requires one siman. So the Gemara explains, Kishu Omer, when it says in the Pasuk, v'krivo, so that tells us that Hikrivo is talking about the olas of haban binadava, Hikrivo, and not Hikrivstam, Chalaka Kasav Ben Chatas Of, Olas Of. Hikrivo means being Makriv it as opposed to something else. That Olas Of is different than a Chatas Of, and telling us that a Chatas Of has one, but Olas Of must be different, therefore it must be requiring Shnei Simanim. So again, Chalaka Kasav Ben Chatas Of, Olas Of. So Mani Makayim Kimishvat. So what does the Kimishvat mean back in the Pasuk of Olas Of? It must be Kimishvat Chatas Behema. Because it can be referring to Chatas Ha'of, because the Pasuk says V'krivo, that Olas Of is different than Chatas Of. So again, Kamishvat means Chatas Behema, which is Shnei Siman. So then the Gemara says, now that we have the equation of Olas Of to a Chatas Behema requiring Shnei Simanim, the Gemara says the very last line of Amud Aleph now, Ma Chatas Behema Eino Ba Ela Min Achulin, that when a person brings a Behema for a carbon, you can only bring from Chulin, you can't use Mice or Shani money, you have to use Chulin for this, and Bayom, the carbon is only brought by Yom, as we know, and Beyado, Hayimanis needs the right hand, so to Af Olasof, when you bring an Olasof, the same exact halachas apply, Eino Ba Ela Min Achulin, Beyom, Uveyado, Hayimanis. Fine. So that's the equation. So then the Gemara says, now if we're really taking this equation the whole way through, imal halan berov shnaim, just like the chatas behema requires only most of the two simanim, but not all of them, afkan berov shnaim. So maybe by the olas of, it should be sufficient to have only rov shnaim cut. So the Gemara says, tamalomer umalak v'hikdir. The Gemara, the pasuk connects Malika to Akhtara. Ma haktara harosh ba'atzmo, ba'guf ba'atzmo. Just like when the haktara is performed of the bird, you take the head of the bird separately and the bird separately to be makdir, meaning the complete severance when it comes to haktara. Sa'af malika harosh ba'atzmo, ba'guf ba'atzmo. The malika must be done in such a way where the head is completely severed from the body, just like the haktara is done independently. How is that? Must be that you have to slice through both simanim entirely. Rov shnayim isn't sufficient, like by the chatas behema. Ella, you need to have all shnayim to perform malika. That's how the Rabban understands. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, kimishpat. He has a different understanding when it says that the ol sa'of is like a mishpat. He says, kimishpat chatas sa'of. He does compare it to chatas sa'of. So how so? Ma chata sa'of mimul orf, just like the place where you do malika on a bird of a chata sa'of is in the back of the neck, sa'af ola sa'of mimul orf, that's the same exact place where you have to do the malika on a ola sa'of. Ah, but if we're going to use chata sa'of as the model, imala halan molik ve'enu ma'avdil b'simen echad, just like the chata sa'of, you only have to do one simen, so af kan molik ve'enu ma'avdil b'simen echad, are you going to say that by the ola sa'of, it's enough to do just one simen? Tamilomar v'hikrivo, Hikrivo is telling us that no, the chata sa'of is singular to exclude the ola sa'of, that the ola sa'of does not have the same dinim with regards to simanim. The similar kemishpat in that it's the same place where the malika is done, but they're different in terms of how many simanim. Again, the chata sa'of is one simen, and ola sa'of is two simanim. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Omer, this is the position who argued in Rabbanan, Omer kemishpat, kemishpat chata sa'of. He also learns like Rebbe Shmuel that we are equating ola sa'of to a chata sa'of. Malahal and ocheit barosh beguf umazeh, just like by the chata sa'of, you take the head and the body together, not the separate, but it's one unit, they're not separate from each other, and then you mazeh, then you smear the blood on the mizbeach, afkan, so too by the ola sa'of, ocheit barosh beguf together, umazeh, you have to hold it together as a unit. My comment, what does he mean that the rosh beguf? So Gemara explains, like I just told you, hachi kamar, malahal, and just like there by the chata sa'of, kishu achuz harosh beguf mazeh, just like when you hold on to the head alone, the body's still attached to it, because you only have to do one simen by the chata sa'of, so to afkan, kishu achuz harosh beguf mazeh. When you hold on to the ol sa'of, when you're grabbing onto the head, the body is still connected to the bird as you rub the blood against the mizbeah. So now if we're equating a chata sa'of to an ol sa'of, if you're going to use chatas of as a model, so one simen sufficient for chatas of, are you going to say afkan b'simen echad? So too by the olas of one simen is enough. Tamalomer v'kivo is telling us no, that chatas of and olas of are different in terms of simanim, which comes out as follows: that you need shnei simanim for the olas of, but it's not kol shnei simanim. Otherwise, it wouldn't be connected to each other. So you have to have two simanim where the head and the body are still connected, still intact, which means a rov of shnayim, and that's position of Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. Everyone have a easy, meaningful fast.